So, Times of Refreshing has been the name of the series that we embarked upon in the fall, and I'm delighted to be continuing on with that as our theme. I believe that God, as I was seeking Him, I'm kind of thinking this topic might go on for multiple years. I am thankful for the opportunity to learn what it means to rethink work, to rethink rest, to get God's perspective on those topics. And I believe that as I sat before Him and just really didn't want to leave this topic, but asking what would be your heart for our message today and for the rest of our spring, I felt like the Lord did say, yes, refreshing, and that this is a new year and it's a new season. And not only for, just anyone that's a child of God, because Jesus says, I make all things new. But for us as a fellowship, I believe that. And then we had this very unexpected opportunity to move to this beautiful room with the window that gets to see it snow outside. So I just love that when God gives us these confirmations in the physical of what He's doing in the spiritual. So I sought the Lord, and I thought it was interesting. It takes us a while to get in the groove of a new year, and I thought, well, new year, goodness, it's the last week in January. I kind of hate to be talking about the new year, but it does take several weeks to kind of, you have New Year's, you got the Christmas decorations, you got all your take backs, you got all your refunds to do, you've got your house to get back in order, and then you've got bowl games, and then you've got chili, and then you've got Martin Luther King, and then you've got, I'm still not back in my groove, so I think we're safe to say we're still in the New Year season. And as I was kind of exploring that topic, I realized that the idea of celebrating and pausing comes from God. Imagine that, that He would think of that. But in Numbers chapter 10, there are four times when God calls His people to stop and to listen. And I'll name those. He uses, in the Old Testament, a trumpet is what He used to call His people to stop, listen, pay attention. And there were four times that they would do that. They would do that at the beginning of months. It says in Numbers 10:10, at the beginning of your months, blow the trumpets. The trumpets will remind the Lord your God of His covenant with you. I am the Lord your God. So in other words, stop, take time at the beginning of the year. And then when something new was happening, they would blow that trumpet to announce what new thing was going on. So I thought, oh, that's two things, boom, boom, And then the third thing would be a call to war. If there was an enemy on the prowl, and we always know that he's always our enemy, is seeking to prowl around and to rob from us and to steal from us. And then when it's time to move, and I love that because we've been singing so many times, I won't move without you, God. So I'm going to wait till it's time to move according to the trumpet call. And for us in the New Testament, as, followers of Christ and saints in Christ, what that really means is the call of His Holy Spirit. Is analogous to that, according to the commentators, that our trumpet call is that still small voice where God speaks through His word and He speaks through His spirit. So today, God's calling us to, be on the alert and be listening for all of those things. And we said, just by way of review, that when we looked at Hebrews 4, that the main, if we're just going to say, how do we achieve biblical rest, which is that internal rest, is by listening to His voice. That we saw in Hebrews 4 that back when they were, seeking to enter the promised land, those that didn't enter God's rest didn't enter because they hardened their heart when God spoke. They didn't believe Him. They didn't marry the Word of God with faith in God. And so they didn't get to enter His rest. So there are lots of applications that we can make on that. All of that you can find on the World Wide Web at DDD, DivineDesignDiscipleship.com, under the resource tab. But today I want us to talk about this new year and this new beginning, this time of refreshing and bringing newness and rest by the breath of God's Spirit. So a fresh breath of air. And my first point today, for those of you who like outlines, is principle. I want to talk about the principle of refreshing. We talked about it just a very, very little bit when we first took a look at this, but the key verse that the Lord gave me, I don't think up these ideas. I try to pray until God gives me, births an idea that it's his vision for what we'll be studying. And usually it's something that I need to live. And then so he makes, or he, I get the opportunity to learn about it and live it and pass it along, which is a great privilege. But the key verse was Acts 3:19. And in the NIV, it reads this way, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." And so with that, you'll hear, and we'll talk about for just a minute, it's a promise. It's a promise of blessing. It's a promise that comes with requirements. And it's got a source. And the word is, let me see if I can spell this, anapsuxis, A-N-A-P-S, I think it's Y-X-I-S. Anapsuxis, and it's a compound word. That second syllable, apsuxis, means this. It means labored breath. There's two kinds of breath in the Greek, or at least two that I studied. One is aer, which I thought was so fun. It was a sort of an onomatopoeia kind of word, and that word means just like when you're sitting there and not thinking about it, when you're asleep and not thinking about it, that kind of breathing. This is not that. Apsuxis is the kind of breathing that you do when you're climbing a mountain, running a race, birthing a baby, you know. And so on, you add the first syllable to it, that means this, when you add that, means the word anapsuxis means to get a fresh breath of air, to get recovery of breath, either by stopping halfway up the mountain, going to the water stop on your marathon, you know, stopping during your birthing process and doing that, breathe, 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 relax till the next contraction. So you get to catch that fresh breath of air until it's time to push again. So anapsuxis is what that word means. And I love the thought of what it feels like. If you'll think about it, when the baby's born, when the race is won, when you get to the top of climbing that obstacle or that mountain in your life and you can kind of see it from that highest perspective, that feeling of just relief, how refreshed you feel, that is the concept. Or when you get a break, like I said, either one. And the context of that, of that verse, I think will help us a little bit and give us some clues about this principle. The chapter 3 of Acts comes, commentators believe, several weeks after Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, as most of you probably know, is the chapter that records about Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. And so several weeks had ensued. Some of the new believers were around at the temple, most of them, you know, being Jewish people. Some were non-believers, but it was when Peter and John went to the temple. And they were passing through the beautiful gate, which I don't know why that just appeals to me, the beautiful gate. And there was a man who had been lame from birth that his friends had brought him to this place to beg. And so that's the context of this. And I'm going to read to you starting in verse 4 from Acts 3, just about five verses here. Verses 4 through 8 in the New Living say, "Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, 'Look at us.' The lame man looked at them eagerly," and he had just begged them for money, by the way. And he was expecting a gift, but Peter said, "I don't have any money for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankle bones were healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. So instead of begging God and others, this man entered a whole new season when he heard the name of Jesus, believed in the power of Jesus. And then he got up, he arose, and he walked by faith, y'all. And that's our call. That is always our same call. And, you know, one of the things, just as a parenthetical aside here, one of the things God showed me about giving thanks, we've talked about that an awful lot over the years, is that anything that's written in the Word of God, anything that's a promise of God, I can thank Him that that is my inheritance. That is mine to ask for Him to make my experience. If it's in His Word, 1 John 5:14-15 tells us that we can, by faith, have confidence that God will hear us when we ask anything that's according to His will and according to His Word. We don't have to beg for it. We don't have to be a beggar. But we can, instead of me begging God, so many times He'll stop me now. Instead of saying, oh, God, would you please? And He'll say, whoa. I go, oh, okay, wait a minute. What's something that I can stand on by faith? Oh, God, I thank you so much that you love my children more than I do. And I think it's you, thank you that it's your desire to teach them, and it's your desire, you know, and then I can go by faith, I can jump off from there. And there's so much more confidence from that place instead of praying from a place of lack or poverty or fear. So that's great, just a great little prize hidden in that passage. But every place, y'all, that we're either feeling like we need to beg, every place where we feel desperate, every place where, I don't know, had this man given up? I don't know. But, you know, I was thinking about that song, Lord, I'm desperate for you. You know, where are we desperate for God that we want Him to be the air we breathe, to come in with that fresh breath of air? That's the place He's ready for us to call on His name and Him to pour out those fresh blessings, showers of blessings and times of refreshing. So that is a little bit more about what it means to have refreshment. The second thing I wanted to mention was the problem. That maintaining a lifestyle of refreshing, that we have a problem that I want to talk about a little bit. And what happened in this passage is probably, I think we can draw some thoughts from it. You know, this guy, so they've seen him. They've seen him at the beautiful gate all these years. It's the same dude every time. He's sitting there begging. And all of a sudden, people are coming in for the 3 o'clock prayer meeting at the temple, and they're seeing this guy running and leaping and praising God and having himself just a, you know, praise fest out here. And they want to know what they can do to get in on this. And so Peter, it says, he sees the opportunity. Boy, he starts preaching. He preaching to the peeps, you know. And most of these, again, were children of God. They knew the Word of God. They knew the law of God. They knew the traditions of the people of God. And so some of them had a certain knowledge of God but didn't know God by way of relationship. But what happened when they saw the man who by faith entered this time of refreshing, they were hungry and thirsty for some of that. So they asked the question, what can we do to get some of that? And this is what Peter said. Peter, and this is verses 12 and 13. Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. People of Israel, he said, what is so astounding about this? And why look at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power and godliness? For it is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of all of our ancestors who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. And then he goes on in verse 19 and he says, so you need to repent, so that your sins will be blotted out and times of refreshing will come from the face of God, is one of the ways that's translated. The word for presence and the word for face are identical words in the Greek. So God is saying, seek my face, just like he says in Psalm 27. That's familiar language to these Hebrew people, and that's familiar language to us. We need to seek his face for times of refreshing. And so with this message of refreshing that he's preaching to these children of Israel, some of them needed salvation for the first time. I don't think that applies to anybody in this room, but it may be somebody who's listening over the World Wide Web, that if you've never entered into a relationship with Christ to be your personal Savior and to forgive you of your sins, I mean, that is the primary need of every human that's ever been born, is to be saved, you know, to repent of our sinfulness and go in our own way, which is all sin is doing it our own way. And then when we do that, God forgives us of all of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness, it says in 1 John 1:9. But then for the rest of us, we've got the problem that we go our own way too. You know, we still continue in our way. We still have this terrible tendency as humans, I guess, as long as we're confined to these bodies with these brains, with all of our history and in this world order, we're going to have that tendency to gradually drift and gravitate toward functioning in our own wisdom, our own strength, our own counsel. And y'all, I mean, that's just dependence on self that we do. And what God would offer to us, I don't think we'll do it perfectly till we get to heaven, is that we can have a continual fresh breath of air. We can just spiritually breathe all the time in such a way that we live a lifestyle of refreshing. And so for me, I know, I mean, I just was thinking about my own way and how I get in God's way. You know, that I'll take something that I know I'm called of God to do. I'll take something that I know is God's will. I'll take something that is revealed in prayer to me. And then I'll add my own little extra to it. I'll add my own little effort to it. I'll start encroaching upon God's turf. And I'll start taking on a little bit more responsibility. And I'll push a little bit hard. And all of a sudden, I've gone from refreshment to I'm wondering why I'm so tired and stressed out, you know. And so that was the focus I felt like God wanted me to look at this week. And he's saying, let's stop at the beginning of a new year and take inventory. And let's just see where self-righteousness or self-effort or self-reliance or self-preference has crept in so that we can repent and receive times of refreshing from the face of God. There's a biblical example of this in Hagar from the Old Testament that I wanted to bring in quickly, and that's from Genesis chapter 16. Y'all know the story of Hagar. She was in the story of Abraham and Sarah. You know, God had promised Abraham to be the father of many nations, and his wife was Sarah. They were barren. Sarah had not conceived, and she has become an old woman by the time of this story. And so it comes to their minds to let Abraham take on Hagar, the servant of Sarah, as a concubine. So they brought her in as another wife, which was okay in their culture. You know, just kind of like with us. We do a lot of stuff in our church culture, in our worldly culture, in our school and neighborhood culture that everybody else is doing, so it must be fine. You know, and we don't take the time to ask, you know, seek the Lord about her, seek his face. And so they did that, and Hagar did become pregnant. And when she did, not only did she get pregnant, she got an attitude. And so she was kind of a little bit cocky around Sarah, and Sarah didn't like it. So Sarah goes to Abraham and said, hey, look what you have done here. I mean, you have created this mess, which, I mean, don't we all blame? You know, they're pointing fingers at each other. And he said, look, you're made. You deal with it. Deal with it however you want to, which I thought that was pretty smart probably on Abraham's part to do that. And so Sarah did, and the Bible said that she treated Hagar harshly. And so this is where I'm going to pick up the story. So Hagar, you've got to think, she was in a new season. And change, y'all, is hard. You know, we always want something new, but doesn't new usually mean something different? So that means change, which means that introduces new challenges that we hadn't anticipated. It's that law of unexpected consequences kind of thing. Anytime we have something new, just realize it's all good, but it's also challenging. So Hagar was not counting on this harsh treatment that she was getting. And so it says in verse 7 of chapter 16, Hagar ran away. The angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a well along the road to Shur. The angel said to her, Hagar, Sarai's servant, where have you come from and where are you going? And I thought, stop right there. Drum roll. That is such a great verse. I didn't realize that verse was in the Bible. I guess I'd heard it before. But I thought, what great questions to have at the beginning of the year. Where have you come from and where are you going? Let's take inventory. Because how can you repent and change your mind for the better and see it like God sees it and start thinking about it the way he says it is unless you realize what it is you're thinking to begin with, right? So I thought that was a fantastic thing to ask. That we would just wake up and we would get honest, we would get in touch with what we really want and what we really need. What is the reality of our circumstances? And, you know, we want to take responsibility instead of just drifting and doing that gradual slide into taking on too much and getting weighted down. Let's take responsibility for our thoughts and our actions and our direction that we're taking, and not just be swept away with the circumstances in our busy lives. So let's see what happens here. God has spoken, and that's so sweet. Hagar has run, but God meets her where she was. And so this is what she says to him in verse 8, and I'll read 8b through 10 in the New Living. "I'm running away from my mistress," she replied. And then the angel of the Lord said, "Return to your mistress and submit to her authority." The angel added, "I will give you more descendants than you can count." And I guess all of you are familiar with the fact that the word repent is most traditionally translated to turn or to turn around. And that's what the angel of the Lord said to Hagar. He said, turn around, change your direction. That's what you've got to do to get refreshment, to get that fresh breath, to stop running. Stop running. Where are you running? Running away from God? Running away from someone or some circumstance? Let's just stop and catch our breath, and then let's turn around. Let's hear from the Lord, and let's listen to his direction for us. Submit to his order of things. He said, look, this is where you belong. I want you to go back. I want you to get up under the authority that I've established for you. I want you to walk in my order, and if you'll do that, I'm going to give you way more than you had ever imagined. It may not be easy, but, you know. So she's listening. And in verse 11, I like the way the message said verse 11, "From this pregnancy you'll get a son. Name him Ishmael. God hears. For God has heard you. God has answered you." And then I really like what happened for Hagar after that. She realized that she had a provider. So we've got a principal, we've got a problem, and a provider. And that was really kind of like the promise and the conditions and the source that I said earlier, but those all started with P. So if that helps you, you can write those instead. But, you know, here's what the question that dawned on me was this. Our dreams, our disappointments, our responsibilities, and our challenges are all an opportunity to know God in ways we've never known him before. And that's what happened for Hagar. Yeah, instead of being scared, instead of running, instead of closing down, instead of fixing, instead of working harder, Hagar got a chance to know God in a way she had never known him before. And listen to what happened in verses 13 and 14. It says, "Thereafter Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, 'You are the God who sees me.'" She got it, that he saw her. And she also said, "I have truly seen the one who sees me." So that well, where she met God, was named Beer Ayaha Roy, which means the well of the living one who sees me, and it can be found there today. So we've said change is hard. Hagar was going her own way. Sometimes we drift, sometimes we sprint, you know, into self-reliance, but let's take time to determine where we are, where we've gone our own way, where we're going to go from here. Are we going to turn? Are we going to take time to rethink? Are we going to let God speak into it so that we can receive times of refreshing from his face? I had just a mini testimony I wanted to share that was about this whole drift towards self-reliance. I had this call from God, and that's what we're talking about here, is that the people of God, called of God, in all the good intentions of their heart, getting out from under the power of God and the direction of God, just, you know, most often not knowing or unawares of it. So I've been at Covenant Church since I was a newlywed. Love this church. My children were born, baptized, and raised here. So I love it. It's not perfect. There have been times when I've been less content instead of more content, but this is my home. And I guess it was about 3 or 4 years ago, we all kind of knew Bill Hay, who was our founding pastor, who had been the pastor here 30 years or so, going on 30 years. You know, Eric, there was no one, you know, he's getting the age, he's starting to make noises, I'm going to be retiring. And so that conversation kind of started being background noise. And kind of this was before he had, you know, given his official retirement notice. But we had a missions conference that year. It's been, I don't know, probably about 3 years ago. And there was a call, like that somebody blew the trumpet, and it was a call to prayer. And I heard, that trumpet sounded loud and clear. I mean, I felt like it was a personal call to me to take on the mantle of praying for this church. And it matched a previous call that I had received in talking, having a conversation with the pastor himself, Bill Hay. And he had told me probably, I don't know what year it was, but there were some issues at the church that were difficult, and he was under a lot of strain at that time. And he had said, Kathy, he said, I said, Bill, what can I pray for you? And this is what he said. He said, you can pray for revival in our church. And y'all know that verse in 2 Chronicles that says, if my people who are called by my name and will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. And I thought, yes, I will pray that. So I had a little two or three people that were praying that alongside me all these years. And so this missions festival came, the trumpet call for a prayer, a heart for prayer. And it was interesting to watch the responses of people, because you had some like that day in Acts chapter 3, you had some people that went, woo, I want some of that. Tell me how I get in on that. And I was one of the people running to the front of the line wanting to get in on the prayer. And then there were other people who were going, that's a little out of my comfort zone, but thanks, I'm doing fine. I'm good, thanks anyway, you know. And so the Lord put this mantle and this burden on my heart about prayer. And honestly, it's really not left, but it was interesting that over the course of time, Bill Hay eventually did turn in his resignation, and we did have a very prayerful team that sought out our new pastor. And true to the predictions of people who study this topic, it was way harder. The change was way harder than we had anticipated. We thought, oh, that won't happen at Covenant. But it did. It was very difficult to make the transition, and it was an awkward transition. It was a painful transition. I think we're on the other side of that now. But last year, sort of still in the thick of some of it, many of my friends ended up not staying at the church, and that was hard. And I was doing what we're talking about doing today. I was at a retreat in January, and I was stopping to catch my breath and to say, where have I come from and where am I going? I love to do that at the beginning of the year. And I was standing that Friday night at that retreat, and we were worshiping God, and we have these long extended times of prayer and praise. And it was just as clear as if God had spoken audibly, which he did not. It just was in my spirit. I wasn't even thinking about Covenant, but the Holy Spirit just asked this question, or actually issued this command to me. I mean, it was not a question. Kathy, I want you to give Covenant to me. And it was like, oh. And it was like this stale breath that I'd been laboring under, and that I'd just go, God, I mean, just, if we could just have revival like Covenant, please. And that, it was like all of a sudden, it was just like, whew, like the air, the pin pricked, and the air all went out of the balloon, and all that. It was just like, I just, whew. And all of a sudden, I felt just this sense of release and refreshment, and this fresh breath of air of the way it was supposed to be. And y'all, I didn't know what that meant. I was afraid at the time that meant, and I want you to be willing to leave too. And I thought, oh God, of course I'm gonna say yes to you. Yes, God, because here I am in the mighty presence of God, and I'm the only answer I can say to you is yes. But it turns out that wasn't what he had in mind. He just wanted me to have a relief and refreshment and realize I had taken on, in my little heart and mind that meant well, more than he had intended. He was just calling me to be a faithful man, to bring my church before him in prayer, and trust that Only by his power can revival come. Only by his spirit can revival come. Only as one person at a time turns and seeks his face and decides to do it his way. I mean, revival happens one person at a time. Whether 1,000 people do it at one time or one person does it at one time, we can always have revival. We can always have refreshing when we do that. So it was really, I just thought it was a great illustration of what, how just over time that had, the weight of that had crept in on me. And what's really neat is, you know, fast forward about 7 months later, I had the opportunity to take on a new role at Covenant. In this new season, we're going to have a new way of spreading out, of gathering ideas, of having more and more people give input through a nominating committee, raising up other committees that are from a really broad cross-section of the church. And I got the opportunity and the honor of being one of the three women on that team. And so God's just, instead of having me leave Covenant, he's gotten me more involved in the working of Covenant. So you just, you know, just like Hagar, instead of being afraid to say yes to God and go back to his way of doing it, he ended up multiplying and giving me more of Covenant than really I kind of want right now, to tell you the truth. But anyway, I'm thankful for it and just think that's a good illustration. So let's, the word that the Lord had given me, this question, just to close, is that there was, you know, talking about calling upon the name of God. That's how the lame man got free. And that's how Hagar had that time of refreshing, is that she saw a new aspect of who God was. The God that sees me, oh my gosh, wow, doesn't that change everything? And so asking ourselves this week, what is the name of God that's the most special to you, that in your history with him is just that precious, sweet place of trust that you really can't, it's a solid place you can go back to, if that's the only one you can go to. And then let's ask God for this new season. Is there an aspect of you, God? Is there a name of you that you would want to introduce me to that I really don't have very much acquaintance with, other than maybe being aware that that is one of your names? And that's on your yellow page to remind you of that. And so I want to just conclude that just as surely as God saw Hagar and heard her, he sees and hears us right where we are. And so if we'll be still and listen to him, let's just ask him to open the eyes of our heart that we might see him seeing us, wherever that is. And let's come to that well, just like Hagar did, and leave behind anything that would prevent us from refreshing that comes when we return to him and say yes to his new thing. And how I'd like to do our one thing today is Dana's going to put on a song called The Well. And it talks about leaving behind those things we've taken on. And you can just listen. You can write your one thing, and then we'll be dismissed